I really miss being here. 4 weeks we are away. With Pastor Jason and I, we were in seminary for 2 weeks, 1 week in Bali in conference, and then I got sick. So 4 weeks away, feel really good to be here. I want to thank the church for investing in us and believing in us. So today I'm really ready to preach the word of God to you. We are on this series, The Upside Down Kingdom. This is not a foreign concept. It's not a word unique to us, but really it's talking about how the kingdom of Jesus is different from the world. I was speaking to a couple about a month back. One of them is, I think, a relatively new believer. So I was asking her, hey, so how is being a Christian? And her reply was really interesting. She said, Pastor, not so difficult, actually. Last time I prayed to Chai Sen Ye, which is a Taoist deity, okay? So I ask for blessings, I ask for prosperity, I ask for protection. Now that I become a Christian, I ask Jesus the same thing. So I'm doing the same thing, just to a different God. And I wanted to correct her and reply her intelligently, but I realized she was just making a very genuine observation. And it really bothered me. And I wonder if an alien anthropologist came to Earth today and studied us Christians, or studied people in our church, what would be their findings? Will they say, oh, every week they dress up and they come to sing some songs, but how they live, there's not really any difference? It bothered me because if the same question were to be asked about Jesus and his followers, there wouldn't be any wondering. The answer would be radical difference in how they live. Through his life, teaching, and ministry, Jesus just radically challenged how the world works in so many ways. All the values that are ranked high in the world rank near the bottom in the kingdom of Jesus. So as we are doing this series, this upside down kingdom, we want to remember that Jesus really turned the world upside down. And we want to allow his truth to transform us and turn our world upside down. Can I get an amen? Let me pray. Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you that you have set an example of living radically in the world. And we want to open our hearts and allow you to transform us, to work in us, and turn our inner world upside down. Help us love what you love and value what you value. And in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. One of the big areas that Jesus challenged is really the area of power. It's how we look at weakness and strength. Jesus was born into a world where it was extremely hierarchical. The Roman world at that time, they had so many layers. You had the emperor, then you had the patricians, then you had the senate, then you had the equestrians, then you had the all sorts of social classes. The higher you are on the social class, the greater the benefit you have. Better education, you got land, you'll be exempted from the army. So everyone wanted to climb up the social order. They pursued strength. Not only they pursued strength, they wanted to show their strength. So every social class, they had a different dress code. They wanted to show that difference in strength between you and me. But worst of all, the abuse of strength was really how the Roman Empire was built. They had a brutal, super strong kind of army. They would march into someone's territory and just take it. And people would fall under their rule because they were too afraid of the consequences. With this abuse of strength, the Roman army ruled 1/4 of the population on earth. But it wasn't just in the government that abuse happened. In the family, the pater familias, the oldest living male in the family, had absolute power. They could kill a child, they could disown a child, they could sell him, do anything they want. Why? Because they were stronger and they abused their strength. Now, I know we don't live like that. None of you sell your child. But I think you would agree with me, we express these three values in our own way, right? We too pursue our own social ladder. We don't have dress codes, but we too show our strength and influence through the brands that we wear and the things that we own. And I'm sure you would agree with me, we too, at times, use our position of influence for our own benefit. That was not how Jesus lived. When Jesus came on the scene, we saw him, instead of choosing strength, he chose weakness every single step of the way. I'm going to show you a few examples. You probably know many of these, but I just want to stack them together to help you see the theme of weakness in the life of Jesus. This is the birth of Jesus, the King of Heavens coming to earth. No best doctors, no palace. Where was he born? In a humble manger. They didn't even have space in the inn. Is that strength or weakness? It's weakness, right? He chose being weak. What else? Luke 4. This is a big test that Jesus had to go through before he started his ministry. You know the story. This is where he was tempted by the devil. Usually when we go through a test, what do? We strengthen ourselves, right? Our mom gives us chicken essence, bird nest, we carbo load, we rest well, so that we are at our peak performance before we go for a test. I want you to see what Jesus did. It says here, he ate nothing during those days, and when they were ended, he was hungry. What happens when you don't eat? You become physically weak. So Jesus chose weakness as he was going through his biggest test. What else? This is the announcement of Jesus' ministry in the synagogue. He was teaching there, and at that time, if you are a famous teacher, people will line up coming for you, and then probably you pick the best. So Jesus is announcing his ministry in the synagogue. He goes to a scroll, he picks up a scroll in Isaiah, and look at what he reads. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news." Who? To the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Poor, captives, blind, oppressed. Are they weak or strong? He was very clear when he announced his ministry. I'm coming for the weak. Everyone else wants a strong. I am coming from the weak. But it wasn't just words. We see through his ministry, these are some of the people that he ministered to. Lepers, paralytics, men with withered hand, widows, sinful women, demon-possessed men. These are people that no one wants to have anything to do with. Jesus said, I came for them. I came for the weak. And lastly, in the culmination of his ministry, his greatest act, his work on the cross, his crowning moment, this is a snippet of what happened. And they cast lots to divide his garments. They took away his clothes. He was naked on the cross, being humiliated. People stood by watching, scoffed at him. They mocked him. They spit on him. His crowning moment was a moment of humiliation, a moment of weakness. So every step, I want you to see, he chose weakness, 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 weakness. Now, I don't want you to think that, oh, what a pacifist he is. He's a peaceful guy, what a humble guy. Yes, it's that, but it's not just that. Jesus was challenging the system of the world, and he was telling them, in my kingdom, that is not how we view strength and weakness. When the world pursues strength, I am here to pursue the weak. Please help me. When the world is about showing strength, portraying strength, it's okay if I'm humiliated. I want to lay down my life in weakness. I want to surrender. I want to sacrifice. And when the world is about abusing strength, I'm not going to do that. I am here to protect the weak. And it's as if he's asking his hearers, his readers, which side are you going to be on? Are you going to be on my side or the side of the world? And we can't just say, okay, let Jesus be weak. I'm so grateful that he became weak for me. He died for me. But I'm not going to choose that. We can't say that. It's very clear in John, it says, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. So which kingdom are we part of? The kingdom of the world or the upside down kingdom of Jesus? All of us have got to choose. Now, if you chose the kingdom of Jesus, the next question then would be, what does it really mean to follow Jesus in weakness? Now, I'm going to use some letters that Paul wrote to the Corinthian church to help answer this question. I'm going to give you five very practical things to do. The Corinthian church was interesting because it was a church where they had people from the upper echelons of the society. And Paul constantly faced credibility challenges with them because the rich and powerful, they had their own vision of a church, right? They disliked that Paul was also a manual laborer. They're wondering, why is my moral teacher also a laborer? They felt he wasn't eloquent enough. They felt he wasn't good in rhetoric. He wasn't a good communicator. So Paul's credibility was constantly under pressure. Next slide, please. And I want you to see this was how Paul responded to them. Paul said, yeah, you're right. I am weak. And he said, to the weak, I became weak that I might win the weak, right? To the weak, I became weak that I might win the weak. So I'm becoming a manual laborer because I don't just want to reach the rich and powerful. I want to reach everyone. Societal wisdom will tell us, all your time you got to spend with the best of the best. Spend your time with the strong. You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And there's a place for that. But sometimes I think we are so focused on doing that and winning in life that we forget we are called to win the weak. Paul says, I'm here not to reach the rich and powerful, but really to everyone. And he gives us an idea how to do that. He says, to win the weak, I first must become weak. I must stand in their shoes. I must feel what they feel. I must experience what they experience. I must be one of them in order for me to win the weak. Pastor Agape was sharing a story of how she's ministering to a really troubled single mom. 3 kids. She's a hardworking woman, but just so overwhelmed by life. So every day, almost every day, she'll text Pastor Agape. She needs money, she needs a job, she needs a place to stay. She wanted to become a Grab driver. They borrowed her car, and the car got into accident after 3 days. She tried to work and then got scammed. So just problem after problem after problem. And as weeks and months gone by, Pastor Agape said, there are times where I really feel tired, right? There are times when she feels, wow, how comes even such simple things that this woman doesn't even know? And she says something really profound that helped me so much in my ministry. She said, every time I feel better than this woman, I'll stop replying. The first thing I need to do is come before the Lord and repent. Because only if I stand in her shoes, then I can minister to her. If only I can see where she's coming from, then I can help her. If the weak is good enough for Jesus to come for them, it is good enough for us. So my question to us, number one, do we have space in our life to win the weak? And secondly, are we willing to become weak to win over them? Third thing, next slide, please. Once again, Paul is replying to these criticisms. And they're saying he's weak. And he says, you're right. But you know what? I'm going to boast of the things that show my weakness. And he tells a story of something that happened way back then in Damascus. He was going to Damascus as a persecutor of Christians. He was going there to seize them. And on the road, Jesus met him. He was grazed by Jesus. He got converted. And as he goes into the synagogue, he starts preaching the gospel. So he was seized by the local government. They were after him. And it was the Christians that he was supposed to persecute. They let him down in a basket through a window and he escaped. So Paul was recalling this story. And he's saying, I was supposed to go to Damascus with strength. But I left in weakness, humiliated, running away through a window with a basket. I started my ministry in weakness. So you say that I'm weak right now. You are right. I am weak. My ministry continues in weakness. And he was able to say that because he was so clear that he wasn't the hero of the story. Jesus is. And the more he boasts in his weakness, the more he's boasting about how great this God is. Some of you sitting here today, you feel you are not good enough. You feel you can't lead people, you can't minister to people, you can't share the gospel. And maybe you are right. But you know what? Congratulations. Inadequacy, that's the first step. And if you would allow God just to use you despite your weakness, one day you'll be able to boast just like Paul, boasting in your weakness and in turn boasting about how great this God is. Are you willing to allow him to work through your weakness? He is the hero, not us. And when we do that, we can then boast in our weakness. Okay, fourth thing, next slide. Read this with me. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest in me. Verse 10, read this with me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So here Paul is facing something challenging. It could be physical, it could be more than that. But it's very clear, he prayed to God and God did not take it away. So it was still there, it was still painful. But verse 10, Paul says, okay, it's still there. So here's how I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to be content with it. Content in the Greek means I think well off. It's still painful. It's still suffering. It's still bothering me. But I'm going to think well of this situation. It's so profound, and he was able to do it because, firstly, he was aware that this weakness stops him from being conceited, from being puffed up, from being proud, from being full of himself. It kept him humble. And secondly, this is where he fleshes out his theology. He says, I can be content because I know when I'm weak, then I'm strong. What does this even mean? Maybe this illustration can help you. A few years back, I was trying to minister to a gym trainer. Okay, so he's a bodybuilder. So I went to the gym with him. I know I don't look like it. I promise you, I'm not lying. Okay, I really did go that time. So I was trying to go with this guy. And he's, you know, buff, super strong. So he gives me all these sets to do. Now, I'm really very weak. So I can do the bare minimum, 5 kg, 10 kg. Sometimes he'll say, okay, today we're going to challenge you. We're going to put something far more than you can handle. But I'm going to help you. So he put in 30, 40 kg. And of course, I can't do it, right? But when I can't do it, he'll help me. And because he's so much stronger than me, I ended up leaning on his strength. And I become stronger. Paul was aware that as humans, we tend to use our own strength. And we can handle a lot of things, thank God. But one day, if there's something in front of us far beyond our capacity, that's when we say, I can't do this on my own. I'm too weak. And I lean on my God who is far stronger than I am. And he's helping me push that load, carry that load. And when I lean on him, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. I have access to his strength. So he's trying to help us see that's what weakness can do for us. It can promise to lean on him. Next slide. I like this phrase that Paul uses to describe that relationship we ought to have. He says, we also are weak in him. I like this phrase so much because the word in, there's no better preposition that describes proximity. With, it's close, but there's still a distance. Above, it's close, but there's still a distance. Beside, it's close, but there's still a distance. But when you're in something, there's no distance. It describes absolute proximity. When we are weak in Him, means we are so close in proximity to our God that there's no distance between God and us. And my question to us, how close do we want to be with our God? Do we just get lost when we are spending time with Him, or is it a dread? Do we so desire to spend time worshiping Him, praising Him? Do we so desire His presence, depending on Him, leaning on Him? Or He's just another task? See, everything that I said today, none of it is easy. Next line. Living in the upside-down kingdom of Jesus is not easy. Following Jesus in weakness is not easy. Becoming weak to win the weak is not easy. Allowing God to use our weakness is not easy. Thinking well of our situation and our weakness is not easy. But when we are so close in proximity with Him, when we are weak in Him, when we are leaning on Him, when we are dependent on Him, it makes all this possible. I don't know where you are at today. Some of us, maybe there's someone weak in our life that we got to win. Some of us, there's a weakness that God wants to use and you got to allow Him. Some of us, you are in a tough, tough situation and we empathize with that. How can you think well of that situation? I don't know where you are personally, but as a church, I think this is a season where we need to learn how to be weak in Him. It's about 3 months since the passing of our senior pastor. And if you are a faithful churchgoer, you probably notice some gaps. Some of you may say, the preaching is different, Pastor Tim, so funny, so practical. You are right. We lost our best preacher. Obviously, there are gaps. Some of you may think there are some discipleship gaps. You are right. Our pastor meets 150 people a month. There are definitely gaps. Some of you may be thinking we lost that senior figure who can deal with all the other senior pastors of other churches and influential people. You are right. The church is definitely weakened. But if we learn how to be weak in Him and lean on Him, then we can claim what Paul is saying. When we are weak, then we are strong. The other day, we were having a leaders meet with about 14 life group leaders. Pastor Tim was so wise. Every time he comes, he asks them to bring a question. All of you, bring any question. I'm going to answer all your questions. Now, Pastor Teresa and I were meeting them and we said, we are not that wise. Today, bring all your questions. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit together. There are going to be some shifts that we got to make. But I appeal to you. Lean on Him together with us. Be weak in Him together with us. And one day we're going to boast about how weak we were. But God could still use us. And we're going to glorify how great of a God we're worshiping. Can I get an amen? I appeal to you. Let us be weak in Him together. I'm going to give you some time. We're going to sing a song. And we're going to let the word sing in. We want to let the word minister. I want to take the time to grow in proximity with Him. Let's sing.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust in His presence daily live. All to Jesus, all to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus. Jesus, take me now.
You have set an example. You have shown us how to live in your upside down kingdom. You have shown us what it looks like to choose weakness. And God, just I know you're working in our midst today, just shaping our hearts, helping us look at power and strength and weakness differently. Some of us here today, God, there are people in our life that you have placed for us to win them. God, you just remind us of those names. We want to become weak to win the weak. If they are good enough for you, they are good enough for us. Some of us, we have that urging to step up, to minister, to lead. We feel we are not good enough. And God, I know you are working in the hearts of these people, assuring them that you can work through their weaknesses. Oh, we are so thankful that it's not about how great we are, how talented we are, but how much we lean on you. And God, some of us, we are going through a tough, tough situation. Just change the way we see things. Help us to think well of those situations. Help us to see that those weaknesses is what keep us rooted. It's those weaknesses that prompts us to lean on your strength. And God, as a church, you lead us. Create that desire that we want to be so close to you and that we lean on you fully. What a great God you are. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.